Who hadn't bought the Christmas gifts? Yeah, you got some? Yeah. Now I'm not even going to ask. It's coming. It's on the way, but praise the Lord. It's the time of year where so many good things happen. This weekend, we got to take a trip with the youth to Giddings, Texas, to do the Christmas lights and the Christmas activities at Lake Tejas. So make sure I say that right. And then last night, Rebecca and I got to, because I'm on the board of directors at New Heart Ministry that we support, who's connected with Matthew West, we got to go to a Matthew West concert at First Baptist Church, and we've got to spend about 45 minutes personally just sitting down and talking with Matthew, and it was just a real blessing. So a great weekend. Y'all heard about some of the stuff going on here at the church. We're going to get together and just have a meal after church. I hope everybody stays for that. There is just a beauty to a church fellowshipping over food. There's just something about it. So if you get an opportunity to stay today, please do, and let's just enjoy visiting over some food. Also, this weekend, you know, like Donald said, we've got a little Christmas magic show. Y'all know Robert. He just called me and said, man, I got to open Friday. He said, you mind if I come and just do a Christmas show for the community at the church? And she said, maybe that will bring in some people. So invite some people this Friday, 6 o'clock. It's just going to be an hour long. And it is a fun time of entertainment and enjoying our community. And then one thing I forgot to tell Donald to announce this morning. We were at Wednesday night service this week, and last Sunday night, at our prayer time, y'all need to come to prayer time, but at prayer time, me and Chris were talking, and we both were talking about how much we love Christmas Eve services, how that's become kind of a part of our family tradition. It wasn't when I was growing up, strangely enough, but since I've been in the ministry, this Christmas Eve service is such a neat time, and so we decided we're going to go ahead and have one this year. So Christmas Eve, 6 o'clock, is that what we said, Chris? 6 o'clock. Put it on your calendars before you go and spend time with family. Come by the church. We're going to worship God. We're going to thank Him for sending Jesus Christ, His Son. We're going to do a candlelight kind of service at the end of it. We would love to invite everybody, all your family, to come to a Christmas Eve service at Waller Baptist Church. So I think I've hit everything now. Let's get on with the sermon. I've been in this series called Peace. Let there be peace. The angels came and said, peace on earth. And so we've been talking for the last 3 weeks about how peace and Christmas should go hand in hand. But if you go to Walmart or any of these stores yesterday, you're going to see that peace isn't happening. You know, there's just craziness happening. But as Christians, we need to remind ourselves sometimes that this season needs to be marked more than any other season with peace in our life. And so, you know, the first day we talked about how peace is a possibility. It's something we can grasp. Last week we kind of talked about how you might apply peace in your life. And today is something probably that I need and I hope that you need. And that's this, that hand in hand with peace is this word that sometimes is hard for us to swallow. And that word is patience. Patience. Patience and peace have to go hand in hand. You know, you probably heard the old saying, don't pray for patience because God will give you every test in the world to see how you're doing at patience. But if we aren't seeking and thinking about and applying patience in our lives, then we're going to miss out on a lot of peace. So I want to challenge this morning to think about patience in your life. And I want to go to the Christmas story to show how God has had this idea of patience pretty much the entire scriptures in Matthew chapter 1. So first of the New Testament, chapter 1. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 1 verses 20 through 23. In chapter 1 verse 20 it says, but after he had considered this, we're talking about Joseph. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? God with us. Let's talk a little bit about that this morning. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we just dive into this subject, it's kind of touchy. God, that we all battle with. God, teach us to have patience. Father, teach us to wait on you. Teach us about the trust and the faith that we can develop in times of patience. And God, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think one of the worst feelings in life is when you have to wait, right? It's when you have to wait. And it's just, you kind of, I get in these long lines. You know, the other day I was trying to get some pizza for this, well, actually this thing on Friday, and I'm running late, and I run into pizza where I've already got it ready, ordered, you know, it's stacked up, and I look and there's three people in front of me, and I'm just kind of going, ugh. You know, I've got to wait. And when we get into that time of waiting, even in our regular life, it makes us frustrated. But can I tell you that especially when you're having to wait on God, in the same way, you start getting frustrated, at least I do. Sometimes you might say this, I just really feel like God is taking way too long. You've ever said that? Maybe you've prayed about something and it hasn't happened yet, and this thought just starts going through your mind. God, what's taking so long? And if you stay on that thought for a second, the next thing you're going to go is you're going to say, maybe God has forgotten me. Maybe God's not listening. Maybe God isn't who God says he is in my life. Maybe God doesn't love me. If he did love me, wouldn't he be answering that question? Maybe it's something simple. This isn't really simple. But maybe, you know, you've been praying for something physical, something medical. Maybe you've had migraines for years and years and years, and you've just prayed over and over again, God, take these away. And he hasn't yet. Maybe you've been praying for a loved one to come to Christ. And you've just been waiting and waiting, and you go, surely, God, that's your will. But you're still waiting on that. Maybe it's something about your job. Maybe it's healing in a hurting marriage. Maybe it's depression. Maybe if you're single here today, you've been praying for a spouse. And you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And a lot of times when we start into that waiting process, that's when our peace just starts going down and down and down. What I want to say today is that waiting on God is something that God calls us to do. And there's a way to process it and think about it and figure out that waiting doesn't mean God doesn't care. Waiting may actually mean God cares more than you could actually understand. I was talking to some teenagers this Wednesday night, and we were talking about prayer and what the expectation should be when we pray to God. And I said, when you ask God something, what should your expectation be? And I don't know about you and the teenagers, and we all kind of talked about it. Really, our expectation when we pray to God is that God will answer our prayer right then, right? In fact, we've got scriptures. We've got scriptures. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask and you will receive, right? God, I'm asking. It says, seek and you will find. It says, knock and the door will be open to you. And you know, and I stopped the teenagers right there this Wednesday. And I said, have you ever just thought about that verse for a second? Yeah, the first one does say, God, sometimes if you ask, you're just going to receive. But so often, we jump over the next couple of them. We kind of think it's just Matthew repeating himself or Jesus repeating himself. You know, we're going to ask and you will receive, seek and you will find. And I said, now wait right there a second, right? Is asking and seeking the same thing? No, it's not. I mean, we say hide and go seek. We don't say hide and go ask. I thought about that when I was a kid. I don't know if y'all had this thing or if this was a Tennessee thing, but you know, we would play hide and seek. The hide and seeker person would find someone, and then they would kind of sing out this little melody of come out wherever you are. And that signaled that did you like my singing, Sarah? That fixed my thank you, babe. Come out wherever you are. And that was you asking everybody to come on out from where you're hiding. I've already found somebody, right? And as a kid, I always was thinking, well, this game would go a lot faster if after I counted to 100, I didn't seek at all. I just went, come out wherever you are, and go and tag somebody. It would make the game go faster, right? But that's not the, in fact, it would be a totally different game. The seeking means this, that I'm going to count, you're going to hide, and then I am going to have to try to work to find someone. When you're seeking, what do? You go to this place and you kind of eliminate it. I thought they might be over there, but they're not over there. You go over here and you look, and it takes time to find someone. And here's what Jesus said. He said, sometimes you're going to ask and sometimes you're going to receive immediately, but sometimes you're going to have to seek. And that's going to take a little time. And that's going to take you going to some places and trying some things. And in that process, something is going to be happening in you. And in that process, something is going to be happening in that request that you have that you're not going to understand. But God says, sometimes you just ask. But sometimes you've got to seek. And that's where this idea of patience has to be something in our heart. What I want to tell you this morning is that you're not alone if you go, Blake, I don't like the seeking. I don't like it. It's not fun. Sometimes the seeking process may take years and years and years. And can I tell you today that I understand it because I don't like it. And I can tell you, if we look through scriptures, that you've got a lot of stories of people in the Bible that don't like it either. Exactly what people felt like in the Bible, if you want to look at the biggest one, let's look at what we read just a second ago. It said, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Now, when you read that, that's kind of an exciting passage, right? You kind of go, look at that. God's been for hundreds and thousands of years talking about a Savior coming. And we go, hallelujah. It happened on that morning when that baby was born. But can you imagine the thousands and thousands of years that they were waiting for Jesus to come? That they were having to patiently go through what God needed the world to go through before that baby came? In fact, if you kind of think about it, the very first place in the Bible where we see a prophecy about Jesus coming is Genesis chapter 3. You don't have to turn there, but Genesis chapter 3 is where we get the story of Adam and Eve and the apple. Y'all remember that story? And God's talking about what's going to happen to the serpent. And as he does, you know, he said, the seed of woman will crush his head. And you, serpent, will try to bite at his ankle. Yeah, most biblical scholars believe that's talking about Jesus. That the seed of woman will come and crush Satan. Because we see that's what Jesus did. Genesis chapter 3 is the first time God says, hints at how he's going to redeem the world. That's a pretty long wait from Genesis chapter 3 to Matthew chapter 1. If centuries had to pass for this to happen, there's a lot going on in those centuries. About 700 years before the birth of Christ, we get Isaiah prophesying, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Guys, that's not Matthew. That's Isaiah 7:14. God, 700 years before he came, said, here comes my son. And what did everybody have to do? They had to wait. They had to wait. Now, if you study scriptures, you'll find, you know, people going, oh, he must be over here. He must be, or maybe it's this king or it's that king. Everybody was looking, but God was saying, you need to wait. God promises a Savior. He's going to send a Savior, but you're going to have to wait until the right time. So the question is for us, and the question is for them, is why? What is God doing while we are waiting? What's God doing while he's saying, while you're praying for healing and God hasn't healed you yet? What's God doing? What's God doing when you're praying for somebody at work and nothing has happened yet? What is God doing? What's God doing when you're saying, God, I'm hurting right now, and God doesn't do anything? What is God doing? Well, I want to show you what God was doing in this situation, and then we can talk about what God is doing in our situation. Chris, I love the fact that you sang, you taught us that song last week. In that last song that Chris sang, did y'all pick up? I don't know if you picked up on it. I didn't pick up on it last week. But this week, you know, because what I'm preaching today, there's a place where, you know, it's kind of coming from the Israel's kind of point of view, waiting on the Savior, waiting on the Savior. And then there was these lines, right? 400 years. 400 years of silence is what it says. We weren't hearing from God from 400 years. This is called the intertestamental time. We're in Matthew. If you turn to the book before Matthew, you've got Malachi. Matthew on this side, Malachi on this side. End of the Old Testament, beginning of the New Testament. For us, it's just a page. But if you look in history, from the time that God gave Malachi the words to say that were written down in that book, till the time that Jesus came, was 400 years. It was a 400-year period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And during this time, God did not send any prophets. Nobody spoke. There was not a word from God. There was no answers. Hey, this is what we've been talking about. Here it comes. There were no signs. There was no feelings. There was nothing. There was just silence in the Jewish community when it came to what's God going to do next for 400 years. Now the question for us, and maybe this could give us a little insight on what we need to think about when we're thinking about, God, why are you waiting to answer our prayers, is what was God doing? Why was he saying nothing? Listen, this is probably what comes to your mind, and it might have been come to their mind too, is if God is silent, that means God is absent. I want to tell you today, that's not true. Just because God feels like God is silent, it doesn't mean God is absent. In fact, here's the main point I want you to hear. If you're going to fall asleep right now, go ahead and write this one down before you fall asleep. While you are waiting, God is working. That can change your life right there. And I'm not saying because it came from me, because I heard that from somebody else. While you are waiting, while you're going, God, I can't hear you, while you're going, it feels like my prayers are bouncing off the roof, while you are waiting, here's truth, God is working. And when you're sitting there going, God, I don't get it. God, I don't understand. God, this doesn't make sense. Just repeat in your mind, while I am waiting, my God who loves me, my God who cares about my situation more than I care about it, my God is working. Let me show you how he was working. Let's look in Galatians 4, 4 through 5. You can turn there if you want to, or I'll just read it. In Galatians 4, 4 through 5, it says this. It says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we may receive adoption to sonship. Isn't that beautiful? So that God, when the fullness of time happened, God sent his Son so that we could have grace poured all over us. so that we can be forgiven of our sins. So God could say, I'm going to adopt you as my child, and here I'm going to put the righteousness of Jesus Christ all around you, and I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to place it all around my son Jesus, and he's going to die for you so that we can eternally be together at the fullness of time. Let's talk about that fullness of time. The Greek word is pleroma koronu. That's it. Here's what it means. It means the complete time, the full measure of time, the perfect time. Other translations will translate it when the time was right. That's pretty simple. When the fullness of time has come. Literally, if you want the literal translation, it is when time was fully pregnant. Now, you can get that picture if you've had kids. You know, when the time of pregnancy comes, when it's time to deliver, there's no stopping it, right? You're not going to say, whoa, you know, it's not time yet. And in all honesty, you know, naturally, it's not going to happen before it's time. There's a time when it's fully at the right time. And here's what God said. And when it was fully the right time, it happened. In fact, when we think back to that Genesis verse, this is such a beautiful thing, how God had just brought this thought of this birth coming all the way through Scripture. It says, a seed of woman, right? A seed of woman. You know, that's the only place in the Bible where it says a seed of woman. Every other place it says the seed of man. But why did it here say the seed of woman would crush your head? Well, because Jesus was born of a virgin. It broke the sin nature that was coming through the men. And so here we see born of a virgin. If we go to that Isaiah, born of a virgin, and then we look right here and he said, that's when the complete fullness happened, that so that without sin, Jesus could be born. Without sin, Jesus could live. And without sin, Jesus could die on the cross for us to forgive us of our sins. So let's look real quick at a few things that happened during that intertestamental time. Why was God's timing perfect? And remember this, just because it feels like God's silent doesn't mean God's absent. And while they were waiting, God was working. Let me show you what happened real quickly in that 400 years. Who likes history out there? Anybody like history? I'm going to give you a quick little history thing. For those that don't like it, it's going to be quick. Let me tell you five things that happened in that 400 years, or got set up in that 400 years. First, how many have ever heard of Alexander the Great? You ever heard of Alexander the Great? The thing you need to know about Alexander the Great is he conquered the entire world. If you conquer the entire world, you get the word great before your name, right? And this is Alexander. Alexander, a Greek, in this Greek culture, went out and conquered the world. And what was the significance of this? For the first time in history, there was a common language. In those days, almost everyone spoke at least some Greek. It was the first time in history where Greek, this language, was spread throughout the world. The second thing that happened during this time, about 280 BC, was the Old Testament was translated into Greek. Isn't that interesting? The entire world started speaking Greek. And in 280 BC, they translated the Old Testament. Testament integrate. First time that everybody in the whole entire world might be able to understand what was happening in the Old Testament. Here's another thing. During that intertestamental time, you had the emergence of the Socratic method. I don't know if y'all know what that is, but it's the first time that people were encouraged to ask questions. Isn't that beautiful? God said, listen, I'm going to get the language out there, I'm going to get the scriptures out there, and then I'm going to give permission to people for the very first time to ask questions and say, what's going on? In 63 BC, in this intertestamental time, the Romans conquered the Greeks. When they did this, the Bible says there was peace throughout the land, because the Romans, you know, they ruled with a pretty heavy hand, but they were also fair. But in that time, the Romans developed roads and highways throughout the entire empire. So we go from Alexander the Great conquering to Romans taking over and building roads where you can go everywhere. And this led to the diaspora, which is the time that we see it in Acts and in other places, where the Jewish people went from this very small part of the world And because Alexander the Great did what he did, and because the Romans did what they did, they dispersed throughout the world. So at the perfect time, Jesus came when there were roads everywhere, when the Greek people had spread that language where everybody could read the Old Testament, where the Jewish people weren't in one little place, but they started dispersing out throughout the world. It's the perfect timing of God. While people were waiting, God was working. And it's the same way in our life. You might feel like you're in a holding pattern right now. It may seem like God is giving you the silent treatment, right? But I want to tell you again today that while you are waiting, God is working. Don't lose your peace over this. Don't lose your peace. You're not alone. Abraham and Sarah, they waited 25 years to have a baby, right? Joseph waited 13 years for a prophecy that Jesus told him that he was going to raise him up above his brothers and be able to help his family. 13 years, most of that in prison. Joseph had to wait. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. 12 years before she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. The man who couldn't walk, it said 38 years he'd been sitting there, every day coming. God's delays are not necessarily God saying no. God's delays aren't necessarily God's denial. So many times, God says, I've got some work to do before I can answer that prayer. So while you're waiting on it, while you're waiting on the miracle, while you're waiting on the provision, maybe it's not ready because God's still working on it. God's still working on it. I'm going to brag on my wife for a second. Y'all mind? This will give me a lot of points, okay? She had a hard week at school. Hard week at school. But we've been working with the youth some on Wednesday nights. We had a youth event, and she came right after school. I mean, directly. She couldn't go home. She couldn't eat. She couldn't change clothes. She came right after school on Friday to go with me to this thing in Giddings, Texas, that we were taking the youth to. We took 22 people. It was kind of exciting, and we got to go on that. We didn't get home till late. I mean, it was 10:30, 11. And y'all know I do these little magic shows on Saturday morning sometimes. And so I did one on Saturday morning. I woke up on Saturday morning, and I found out that some things that I thought were ready weren't ready. And Rebecca, after this exhausting week and after going with us on Friday night, she pops right up out of bed. She was planning on getting some stuff done around the house. And she said, Blake, she said, just let me go with you. She said, while you're doing the magic show, I'll run and get you the things you need. And I said, wow, you know, that's so awesome. And she did that. And then, like I told you, we had to go to this concert. So she only had a few minutes between helping me with the magic show and getting ready for the concert that afternoon. And then when we got home, it was just so late. And I just said, God, I remember I went to her last night. Before she went to sleep, I said, just thank you. You know, thank you for that. And I just thank God that I have a wife like that. But, you know, when I look back 29 years ago, when I was single and God had brought me to a point where he said, Blake, you know, you are desiring to have a wife now. You're at the point in your life where everything in you is saying, you know, it's time. I remember looking around saying, you know, God, you know, who is it? You know, who in my life do you have? And I couldn't find anybody. In fact, you know, I tried a couple of people, you know, some dating situations where I just said, God, is this, well, that sounded wrong. I said, God, is this the right person? And is this the right person? And is this the right person? And I just knew that it wasn't. In fact, you know, I had to go through some rejection. And, you know, I don't like rejection. But one day, Rebecca's friend came to me and she said, hey, I got somebody I want you to meet. Her name's Rebecca. He said, I think God's perfectly matched you two together. I think you're going to really like her. And I said, well, introduce me. And she said, well, you'll just have to wait a little while. She's engaged right now. And I said, boy, that's mean. But she said, trust me, that's not the guy for her. I know it. And she said, I know that that's not going to, you know, that they're not going to go through with that. And sure enough, God let Rebecca know that this wasn't the person that she was supposed to spend the rest of her life with. And all of a sudden, Rebecca came into my life. And especially after a day like yesterday, you know, I just look back and I go, what if I didn't wait? What if I just said, God, I don't understand why you're not answering my prayer right now, so I'm just going to go with this person or that person or that person. Just that beauty of knowing that while I was waiting, God was working. God was working. And at the perfect time, he brought me and my wife together. 4 kids later and 27 years later, I look back and I go, oh, thank you, God, that you let me wait. Maybe you're single today. Maybe that's something for you where you just go, I'm just going to wait. Maybe you're married and you're struggling right now. And maybe the word God's telling you right now is that you need to keep seeking and keep working and you need to keep waiting. Maybe you're praying for a baby right now and you're just saying, God, I just want to be a mom. And you just have to say, I'm going to wait. Maybe it's a promotion, a financial issue. And God's just saying, I've got things coming for you that you don't even understand. In fact, let me throw this one out here. Not only sometimes is God working, getting someone else ready, while you're waiting, maybe it's not ready because you're not ready. Maybe it's not ready. Before God does something for you, sometimes he's got to do something in you. Patience says, I trust God, and I'm going to draw close to him and depend on him. And in that drawing close, in that seeking, in that trusting God, what you're going to find out is you don't waste waiting. You don't waste waiting. Waiting starts changing you inside as you trust God more and more and more. Isaiah 64:4 says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you, watch this, who acts on behalf of those who wait on him. There's something beautiful in that waiting on God. God is always good, and his timing is always perfect, and you can trust him. And I'll come back to that main point again. Just because God seems silent doesn't mean he's absent. And while you are waiting, God is working. I'll end today with this, that Christianity is different than every other religion in the world. Amen? Every other religion in the world, if you look at it, it is a desperate pursuit of trying to do better and trying to impress the God or gods or whatever they have. It's this constant pressure on you. But Christianity is the only religion in the entire world where God pursues us. God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We serve a God who pursues us. And that means at a perfect time, we're going to be ready for him to catch us. Listen, right now, there could be someone here that you've just been waiting to hear from God. I want you to know that God's at work. And if he loved you enough to pursue you and send his son to die for you, he's working on that thing that you've got going on in your life right now. And you can trust him. But I also want to say, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I guarantee that God is pursuing you. And if you would stop just long enough to go, God, why did you bring these people into my life? Why did you bring me here today? Why do you do these things for me, that you would see that you have a Father in heaven that loves you so much, that at a perfect time, he's going to just come into your life in such an incredible way if you'll trust him. And if you say, God, with all my heart, I believe in you. I'm going to ask you to be the Lord of my life. And I believe that you died for my sins and rose on the third day. The scriptures say, you will be saved. I'd love that for you today. As we go into Christmas, let that word just kind of go through your mind. There's going to be peace on earth. But so many times for me to receive that peace, I've got to learn to be patient. But in my patience, God is always at work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you so much for today. And God, just thank you that you did wait till the perfect time to send your son. And God, thank you that you're waiting on the perfect time for so many things in our life. Let us trust you and love you more. In the name of Jesus, amen. Guys, during this time of just reflection, we're just going to open up the front. If you need to come down and pray, I'll be down here to pray with you. If God's doing something in your heart and then you want to ask me some questions, I'll be down front. I'd love to tell you how to join our church, how to rededicate your life, how to ask Jesus into your heart. All that can be done during this time. Please feel free to come down.